truth. God said that man had one purpose. One purpose. That was to teach you to love. And when that purpose was served, I took you. The only reason that man had lived through 9 heart attacks, 8 or 9, however many it was, the only reason was for me to move across the street from him and God to use him. Do you know that God will use Satan's people? Why? Because he doesn't want to bring his judgment on his own people. There are 3 seeds, and we're going to be talking about that. I'm going to hit you with a lot of little things here tonight. But there are 3 seeds on this earth. The elect seed of God. The seed of Adam. And the seed of Satan. The seed of Satan were predestinated, preordained from the foundation of the world for perdition. Don't believe me? Go read Jude. Go read what Jesus said about, what the Bible says about Judas. Go read what God says about Pharaoh. So we're not going to get into a theological study tonight. I'm just hitting you with a few things. The seed of Adam, that's the seed Jesus comes to die for. And the elect seed, spoken of in Ephesians chapter 1, those are the apostles and prophets that God elected before the foundation of the world to be the Joshuas, to bring the anointing, to bring the power, to bring the gift to the church. Now, many try to confuse that and say, oh, well, you know, God knows everybody that's going to be saved. No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. God knows his elect that he is foreknew and foreordained to be saved. The seed of Adam has a will. Does it not say in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life? Does not say will not. Says should not. And it leaves it up to the seed to decide. Huh? But to the elect, he foreknew. Paul was an elect seed. Timothy was not. Look over in John chapter 1. And to as many as believed on him, gave he them power to become the sons of God. Now the seed of Adam can become the sons of God. Now I'm not going to sit here and presume to tell you I know who's who. I'm not God. Huh? So you just throw it out there and let God deal with it. The elect seed, God foreordains. Show me in the Bible where Paul had a choice. He didn't have a choice about his salvation. He's riding on a horse to kill Christians. He got knocked off that horse. Jesus said to him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Huh? Notice he didn't say, why do you persecute my bride? He said, why persecutest thou me? Knowest thou not that it is hard to kick against the prick? Paul says, who are you, Lord? Duh. That was at it. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. Then what did he do? He sent him over to a house to wait on him. And he sent Ananias. And he told Ananias, he is a chosen vessel, for I have shown him what things he must suffer for my name's sake. Didn't give him a choice. He said, Paul, you're going to go do this whether you like it or not. Huh? And you can do it the easy way or the hard way. Do you know that there are people sitting in this tent that God knows? And they can do it the easy way or the hard way. But you're going to do it anyway. Huh? And then there are those who God says, if you want to do it, I'll let you do it. So it doesn't matter whether you're the elect or the seed of Adam. But I know one thing. if you can hear the word of God and if you can believe on Jesus Christ, I know this, you're not the other one.
Amen.
So you, if Satan tries to say, well, you're not of God, you can't be of God, you're of the devil, you're going to die, you're this, just tell that liar to shut up.
Amen.
You don't have to believe that garbage. I want to put forth a few things in this revival, and a couple of those things is to understand what it means to walk as Joshua, to walk as the body of Christ. What good is it if a preacher comes through town and can pray for the sick and they're healed and leaves and everybody else stays sick and dies? What good is that? I know the Ezekiel Age ministry. Who got the glory? The preachers. The Jack Coles. The Shambas. The A.A. Allens. The William Brannans. The H. Richard Halls. The Oral Roberts. The Jimmy Swaggerts. They get all the glory. And what's bad is then they begin to believe their press. And they begin to think they save souls. Folks, I can't save anybody. You could nail me to a cross, and I'm not going to save anybody. I'm just going to wiggle, scream, cry, rant, rave, and die. But there is one that can not only save, he can heal.
Amen.
This lady right here, what's with the cane? Why do you have a cane? Why do you have a cane? Do you have troubles? Do you want to get rid of them? Do you like to get rid of them? Would you like a little time to think about it? How come? Do you not have enough faith? Do you want to borrow some? Praise the Lord. You know, in James it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth liberally to all men. And you know you can take that word wisdom and change it for healing, knowledge, anything you want. It doesn't change. God says he gives liberally to all men. And he doesn't mean male men. Men, mankind, man, woman, child, doesn't matter. He gives liberally to all. Notice it doesn't say, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, and he'll give it only to those who really believe him. It doesn't say that. It doesn't say he'll only give it to Christians. He says he gives it to all men. All men. A-L-L. That's the lowest unbeliever in the street out there. That's even Bill Clinton. That's a scary thought. He giveth liberally to all men. He goes on, and upbraideth not. He won't upbraid you for it. He won't give you a hard time. He won't put you down. But then it goes on and says, but let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Think not that that man will receive anything from the Lord. He's not saying there that God isn't going to give it. He says God will give it, but they won't take it. I can give you $100 bill, but if you don't reach out your hand and take it, it's going to stay in my hand. If you understand anything through this revival, I want you to understand something. God's power is in this tent.
Amen.
His anointing is in this tent. His spirit is in this tent. Jesus is present in this tent. And he will do whatsoever thing you ask. But you got to reach out and take it.
Amen.
And if you're too lazy or too sorry to reach out and take it, don't blame God.
Amen.
And don't blame this preacher. Sing me a song, son.
Thank
Hallelujah.
You. Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you,
Jesus. Praise you, Lord. What time is it, son?
It's actually 8:15.
Oh, I got a couple minutes.
Sure.
I want to tell you a couple more things about that Mark 16. So you can be seated. Mark 16, where it says, they that believe and are baptized shall be saved. You know there are three baptisms? There is a baptism of water, there is a baptism of blood, and there is a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Three baptisms. And all three of these baptisms make one baptism. Have you ever wondered why in the Bible God says in the Word, Jesus speaking, go teaching all nations whatsoever things I've commanded you, baptizing them in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Ghost? He names three different baptisms. Three different baptisms. That's not one baptism, that's three baptisms. You ever notice that there's nowhere else in the Bible is there an example of anybody being baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost? There's not a single example. Not one. And the Scripture teaches us that for there to be a doctrine, there has to be two or more witnesses. So when you go and you look in the book of Acts, you see where people are baptized, they're baptized in the name of Jesus. But you see that what people miss is that be there one God, amen, yet it's the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, what does it say? There are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. That's a Trinity, amen? Then in verse 8, there are three that bear witness in the earth, the water, the Spirit, and the blood. These three agree in one. That's a Trinity. The first is the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. The second is baptism, blood, water, Spirit. First, you must receive the blood. When John was talking to Nicodemus, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, Nicodemus said, Rabbi, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man doeth the works thou doest, save God be with him. He wasn't asking a question, he was making a statement. Jesus turned around and said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, lest a man be born again, he shall not see the kingdom of God. He wasn't talking about getting saved and going to heaven. He was talking about understanding. He said, Nicodemus, what are you saying? Don't come here trying to tell me you have understanding on the kingdom of God. You can't understand anything unless you're born again. Nicodemus proved the point. He turned around and said, well, how can this be? Must I re-enter into my mother's womb? I'm an old man. Must I re-enter my mother's womb and be born a second time? Boy, that would be tough. Amen. She'd be running, wouldn't she? I ain't having this church. And Jesus, he proved the point. He didn't have a clue what Jesus was talking about. Jesus went on and said, lest you be born of the water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And again, that doesn't mean go to heaven. Remember when Jesus was casting out devils and the Pharisees accused him of casting out devils by the spirit of Beelzebub? Huh? You remember that? And what did he say? He said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, know you this, that the kingdom of God has come nigh unto you. That's walking on the other side of Jordan. Jesus knew how to walk on the other side of the Jordan. He knew how to walk in the kingdom. And he gave the ability to the church if the church will take it. First, the baptism of blood. How does he show us in the Word? Well, we go back and look at the example. The children of Israel coming out of Egypt. If Egypt, as I said earlier, was a type and shadow of the world, Pharaoh was a type and shadow of Satan, and the children of Israel are type and shadow of us, the first baptism they got was the Passover lamb. That was the blood. When the Passover lamb was slaughtered, the blood was applied to the doorposts and lintels. When the angel of death came over, he saw the blood, he passed over. When you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are baptized by the Father. Death sees the blood, passes over. You're born again. At for that point right there, that's a baptism for the soul. That's for your mind and your intellect. When you receive that baptism of blood, now you come to that place where you begin to see and understand the things of the kingdom of God. Before that, you can't understand the kingdom of God. I've had people tell me, preacher, I can't read that Bible. I can't understand a word of it. And I said, can you believe this? Can you believe and understand that Jesus died for your sins? Yes, I can believe that. Then pray with me. And they'd pray with me, and they'd get up, and I said, now read it. And they said, gee, I can read and understand it now. It's a spirit book. This book is spiritual. It's not earthly. The natural man can't understand it. That's why they keep trying to move it around and change it and come up with different things that the natural man can understand. But they can never get it right. There's only one Bible. There's only one Word of God. It's the one that He ordained and He set forth. The rest of them are copies, cover-ups, charlatans, mess-ups. And some of them just flat-out deceptions. All right, so now the second one. The children of Israel, they got the baptism of blood. All right, they come through what? The Red Sea. You got to be separated from Egypt. You come out of the out of Egypt, through the Red Sea, into the desert. That's where your training starts. Church should be a boot camp. All right? That's the baptism of water. It's not a baptism of repentance. It's a baptism into Christ. Why? Because you can't serve God unless you're in Christ. You can't do it. You cannot do it. So that water baptism is a baptism into Christ, and the baptizer there is the Holy Ghost. And that is your baptism, not for this flesh. It's for the body that's to come. It's a baptism of hope. It's the baptism that shows the death and resurrection, which is your hope. That by faith you die with Him, and by faith you're resurrected by Him, and you live in Him until you receive that new body. So it's a baptism by the Spirit. Then they went from there in the desert, and those who had faith and believed went on across the River Jordan. And that was the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because it is with the baptism of the Holy Ghost that you go forth in power. You can't have the power without it. Now, Paul knew that when he met Apollos' disciples. Apollos was the first Baptist preacher. Anybody know that? Over in Acts 18, he was the first Baptist preacher. Maybe he was Church of Christ. I don't know. But all he knew was the baptism of John. And when Priscilla and Aquila met him, they took him aside and said, look, son, we've got to straighten some of you out. So they taught him the word more perfectly. And then he went on his way. In Acts chapter 19, when Paul came to Ephesus, it says, while Apollos left, went through the upper coast, Paul, traveling through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and seeing certain disciples. What disciples? The disciples that Apollos had just brought in. Seeing certain disciples, said, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? They said, what are you talking about? We never even heard such a thing. Said, what were you baptized in then? Well, John's baptism. Verily, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying to believe on Him that came after him. And he's taught them what happened. He laid hands on them. They received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Then what happened? He baptized them in water, which was not a baptism of repentance. It was a baptism into the body of Christ. It's all so simple. I don't understand why people have such a hard time understanding this stuff. Well, yeah, I do. But it's frustrating. Because it's so easy. It's believing Jesus. And the baptizer of the Holy Ghost is Jesus Himself. That's why He said, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the Holy Ghost. Because there are three baptisms. The baptism of blood, which is of the Father. The baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is of Jesus. And the baptism of water, which is of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Preachers don't baptize you. God baptizes you. We just stand there and throw you under. I asked God one time, I said, Lord, can I have permission to just kind of hold them under and count the 100 by half so they'll never sin again? He said, no, I couldn't do it. Well, I've had a few people I want to do that to, but... Does anybody understand what I'm saying here tonight?
Amen.
Do you understand? If you want to believe, be a believer, And I truly believe everybody in this tent wants to believe fully. You may not know how right now, but I believe you want to. You want to fully believe God. Go in your closet. I'm not going to give an altar call. I'm not going to ask for people to come up here to altar. It doesn't mean anything to me. It's not between me and you anyway. It's between you and God. You go home and you get in your closet and say, God, I want to know the truth. Is that funny looking preacher right or is he wrong? I want to know the truth. And I want to tell you something. It's like I told him 7 years ago. You set your heart to know the truth, God will show it to you. I told Scott 7 years ago that he was going to be saved and be a part of this ministry, and he laughed at me. Is that right, Scott? Thought that was the craziest thing in the world. But see, I know God. I don't know of Him. I know Him. That may sound bold to some of you. You hang around a while, you find out whether it's the truth or not. You find out. So I told Scott, you will be saved, and you will be a part of this ministry. And I said, this is going to happen in 7 years. And he laughed at me. Well, was I right?
Yes, you were, sir.
Amen. That's right. Jesus is bigger than the rest of us.
Amen.
And I want you to know that you can have total, complete faith and authority. Take the faith that you've got and take it back. Take back your faith. God has given you faith. But you've used it in different things. You put it over here and over there and over yonder. Until you've got to the point where you just can't believe God will do anything for you. I got news for you. Jesus Christ is bigger than you are. And He's bigger than I am. And He's more powerful than anything you have ever done in your life or Amen. Could ever do.
Amen.
There is no sin that He's not more powerful than. He is more powerful than any sin. He is more powerful than any thought. He's more powerful than any deed. He's more powerful than any person. He's more powerful than any nation or any government or any power that there is.
Amen.
And if you just get that there and then just find a way to slide it down here, that's all you need to start working on that. And God will do the rest. Sing that one, Jesus, Lover of My Soul. See what I found? I found that. You know what that means? Tomorrow we'll play banjo. I want to sing this song. Before you all leave, let me tell you, I don't take up an offering here. God doesn't let me take up offerings. But there are baskets. We need your help if you're led to do so. That's between you and God. And after we sing this song, I'm going to leave. Steve, you're going to take over. Got a gentleman here that has a testimony. You want to give that testimony tonight or you want to give it tomorrow night? You going to be here tomorrow night? You feel that tonight? Okay, I'm not going to do it tomorrow night. This man's got a testimony. You're going to want to hear it. You talk about somebody who was messed up. You couldn't have been more messed up than this guy if you were run over by a truck and followed by with a train. Amen? Thought I had a testimony. But we had to lay some groundwork here tonight. And I hope you can hear. Because this is what it's all about. See, I was that thermometer. I was controlled by my emotions. I was controlled by what was going on around me. God said, Richard, I don't want you to be a thermometer anymore. I want you to be a thermostat. I want you to set the temperature. I want you to follow me and my word, regardless what's going on around you. That's what God wants every one of us. We've got to get out of this first. We've got to get out of this. This isn't important. He is. I would that you would take the love that is of God into your heart. Give it back to Him. And then He'll give it to you again. And then go out and give it to those who don't understand. That's our job. To love one another. My children used to tell me that when I told them no on a thing or corrected them, they used to say, Dad, you don't love me. I said, yes, I do. That's what I'm telling you. Today in the world, if you tell somebody something that doesn't make them feel good, they think you don't have love. The greatest love is to tell them the truth. If I lied to you because I don't want to hurt your feelings and you go to hell, what kind of love have I showed you? That's why the Bible says in latter days, latter days shall be perilous times, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. If I loved myself, I wouldn't tell you the truth. Let's get an understanding on this song. Jesus is the lover of your soul, my soul. He'll take you out of this and put you in Him. Father, my prayer is that everybody that came into this tent tonight receive from you, even if they don't understand. I want you in your love and mercy to just wrap your arms of love around them and go with them tonight and minister to their souls and minister to their spirits, minister to their bodies. Let them know that you are still on the throne. You are our God and our Savior. In Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Give the Lord a cheer.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Praise you, Jesus.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord.
Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. You know, a couple things here real quick before we break tonight. One, Ralph, I hope you can come back tomorrow night and share your testimony, because you gave us an abbreviated version last night. I know the real quick version. And I want these folks to hear the whole version. And so I don't want to rush you here, you know, late at night and like, but come on back, because this man has a testimony. That's a testimony of the power of God to move and deliver and change a person's life. The other thing I want you to remember is, look, Richard, I know, and every revival, when we come to a new place, he lays some groundwork, lays some foundations. We're going to be going back over these things. You guys are going to have questions. Don't worry about it. I mean, people have questions. Come on back. Come on back. We're going to be going into each of these things in greater detail. And I say that, I mean, look, I just share one little thing with you. We're talking about these signs shall follow. Why do those signs follow, Christians? Yeah? But it's a testimony of God. Look, anybody can go out here and, you know, take a beggar in and have them eat dinner with them or whatever. Anybody can do these different things, but few people can take 5 loaves and feed 5,000. See, the thing is that our God is an awesome God, and He wants to show and share His awesomeness with His people. Okay? And the reason, and the thing is that out here in the world, see, in the world, in this kind of power. You don't see people out there in the world taking five loaves and feeding 5,000. You see them going around trying to find 5,000 loaves. It's the truth. It's the truth. Okay? But the thing is that our God is an awesome God. And we're going to sing this song. Our God is an awesome God. And He wants His people to know that we of our own free will prefer and desire to serve Him. And will prefer to go where He dwells than to stick around this old messy earthly place. And so, you know, we sing these things seem strange some and the like, but look, if you just read the Bible and believe it, none of these things should be strange. I mean, God fed 600,000 men, their wives, their children, their cattle, and everything out in a place called the Sinai Desert, which I happened to have been to before I ever was a Christian, but I happened to have been there. I didn't see anything else out there that was alive. I didn't see any water. I didn't see anything that was alive. Not a place. I was glad that I was in a car on a road and just driving through it. Stay there. I mean, stay there maybe a night. You know, I mean, it's kind of cool to hang out in the desert for a night. But to stay there for 40 years? Ouch. That's a rather inhospitable place, let me tell you. It's a rather inhospitable place. You know, not many people live out there. But the fact of the matter is, our God whom we serve fed, watered, and kept the clothes that the people brought with them out whole for 40 years.
Amen.
You know, I bought these things a couple years ago. They're already getting a little ratty and stuff like that on me. And don't look too close.
Styling, man.
I'm styling. But for 40 years, this kind of stuff was not happening to those children of Israel. Their foot did not swell. And they were able to go forth in that desert. And God kept them. That's the God we serve.
Amen. Amen.
He has never changed. He was the same way back then. He was the same way when He walked around the face of this earth. And He was the same way up where He is today. Seated at the right hand of God. And His people have always, always had that power. Always. Elijah raised the dead. Elisha raised the dead. Elisha multiplied the oil. Jesus multiplied the oil. God has never changed.
Amen.
Never changed. So you come on back, because the thing is, what Lord wants for all of us, myself included, okay? He wants for all of us that we can go forth and manifest, and He wants to share Himself with us, that the people may know what an awesome God we serve.
Amen.
Amen. All right. One last thing before we start the song. We've done several revivals up here. And look, folks, I mean, I know for myself and for many others of us, it's a blessing sometimes after meetings to be able to go back and listen to those things again. So what we do have cassette tapes. We'll have videotapes later, but right now we have cassette tapes that are of the revivals we did in Cornish Flat, in Berlin, the first one in Claremont, and we will have them for these revivals as well here. Okay? We sell the tapes for $5 a piece, and if you buy the whole selection for any given revival, you take however many there are and you multiply it by 4. Okay? So I think it's like $72, because there are 18 up in Berlin, and it's like $40 for Cornish Flat, and I think it's like $56 or something like that for the last 2 weeks in Claremont. But nonetheless, just get with one of us if you're interested at all. We got them, and we'll have them for this one too. And other than that, praise...
CDs.
Oh, that's right. The guy who can sing, not the guy with the microphone here, the guy who can sing, Rick, he's put together 4 CDs. 3 of them are our worship songs that you hear here that are in this book. Okay, one of them are some songs that are original songs that the Lord has given them. All of them are scriptural. And you'll hear some of those as we go through the week. But he's got a good voice, and so we let him sing on the CDs. And those CDs, thing is, I mean, they're a blessing. I mean, Gail, are they a blessing? Yeah, I mean, that's right. These two, they don't fight much anymore. Man, they used to fight. They used to be like cat and dog, but they don't fight anymore except over one thing. Tape number 3. CD number 3.
And I tell you what, I mean, I have been over at their house, and it's every single time I'm over there, they're fighting over CD number 3, from what I can tell.
I think I got to make more number 3.
Yeah, I mean, number 3. I don't know what it is about that one, but I guess he got number 3 right. But, no, I mean, seriously, for a moment, folks, I know for myself and for all of us, you know, we go out here in the world, we get dirty. We go out here, and we sometimes feel dry or what have you. And the music and getting into praising the Lord is a wonderful way to be refreshed.
Amen.
Okay, and that's what those are about. If you buy all 4 of them, I think he's selling them for $40, and the one that's just his original stuff is $12.
Yeah, we have the Common Faith, the one of the originals. We have a bunch of those here.
Yes.
The others I have to make as we get the orders.
Yeah. So if you're interested, just let us know. And it's not a big deal. Just talk with us. We're right up in Vermont. We'll make them, bring them down here.
Yeah,
stuff like that. It's not a big deal. Okay? We're neighbors. There you go.
Amen.
All right. So let's sing that song. Yeah, the one with the... That's the one.
Hallelujah, Lord.
Praise
Hallelujah, Lord.
Praise your name, Lord Jesus.
Well, we hope you can come back and join us here.